Good morning. It is so good to see you all here. In the message this morning, I've got the scripture down as John, but what I want you to do is to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. The Lord started laying this scripture on my heart, so I want to use this scripture instead of John chapter 2. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, and when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today we ask and pray, Lord, that you will help us, Father, to search our hearts as we ponder the question, do we love you enough, dear God? Do we apply ourselves to the work you've called us to do? Do we seek you in every way? Well, Father, let today be this day, God, that we seek you, Lord, the day that we chase after you, Father, desiring you like a deer pants for the water. Let our souls pant for you, O Lord God. And Father, let this message today that I preach be from you. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit, and let no words come from my thoughts or my flesh. And we ask it all in the holy and mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I really pondered this. Do we love God enough? You know, what I want us to look back on this morning, as I said, we're at the end of 2023. So I want you to reflect for just a moment on this past year. I want you to think about you. I'm going to think about me, think about you. And I want you to ask yourself this. Have I loved God enough? Now, this past year has brought a lot of trials and tribulations. There's been a lot of good cheer, a lot of rejoicing and celebration. There have been things that happened in between in life. But did we love God enough through it all? Did we give Him our full, undivided attention? Did our lives reflect everything that we say we are as Christian people? Do we love God enough? And I'm going to touch on some things this morning that I think we should really take into consideration, because as we go into a brand new year, and I always hated this, I always did. People say, well, my New Year's resolution is, I don't like resolutions. I think every one of us, instead of making a resolution, we should be making a commitment to God. Don't make a commitment to anybody else, but I want us all to make a commitment to God that we're going to do everything under His power, not our own power, but we're going to do everything under His power and authority, that we will be led by the Father, that we will love more, that we will serve more, that we will read His Word and study it more, and that we will make a vast change in our lives. I would like to see in 2024 that we are the kind of people that you could say chase after God. we realize that there's so much going on in life and we go after a lot of things, but are we putting God first and going after Him? Are we seeking God in our family, in our devotion time, in our prayer time? Do we really seek God, with all the decisions that we make? God is the most important to us. God always has been, and God always will be. And I'm glad He gave me the scripture this morning, because it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And God also says, this is the first and great commandment. This is the, if you don't abide by this, nothing's going to fall into place. Nothing is going to benefit you in any way, shape, or form if you don't first love God with all that you are. You cannot love God with half of your heart and expect to have a long-lasting, satisfying relationship with the Father above. Now, how in 2024, how are we going to show more love to God? First, by reading His Word. And I say this a lot, and people probably get sick of hearing it, and I can't help that. But I think we need this drilled into our hearts, not our heads, because what you put up here, you'll forget. What you put into the heart will stick, and it will be something you always ponder. So we should seek to read God's Word. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The good reading that we find in God's Word tells us about God's love. It tells us about God's grace. It tells us about His Son Jesus. It tells us about the glories of heaven. It warns us about living a sinful life. But His Word, it's a lamp unto our feet. Basically, God's Word is what we need to light our walk in this dark and wearisome world. God's Word is the power and the fulfillment that we need. When you get up of a morning and you're hungry and your body feels weak, what's the first thing you do? Well, you want to find something good and wholesome and nutritious to eat. And I'm not talking like a donut or anything like that. That's not very filling. But you want to get some good food in your body because you want to knock that weak feeling, and you want to be strengthened for the start of your day. You want to feel good, don't you? So they always say start with a good, nutritious breakfast. And I always like to start out with a good bowl of oatmeal and a good piece of whole grain toast and a bottle of water. Man, there ain't nothing better. And a banana if they're ripe. And if Janine's left me one. No, I shouldn't say that. I eat more of them than she does. But anyway, let me get back. I don't want to chase a rabbit around the tree. But when we read God's Word, when we start our day with the Word of God, it sets your day in motion. It sets you up for strength. It sets you up to know how to walk, how to talk, how to conduct yourself, how you should think, how you should act, and how you should treat others. When you don't know the way to go, when you get into God's Word and you start reading His Word and you start seeking God as His Word says, you know what God's going to do? God's going to open up the windows of heaven and He is going to pour Himself out upon you, and God will answer your prayers. I read something the other day that really hit home with me, but it was talking about prayer. Not only do we have to read, we've got to pray. Pray is our communication line with God. Do you realize that the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection opened up the ways for us to come to God one-on-one and have divine fellowship with Him through prayer? So I don't know why in the world we would ever want to shuck any opportunity to pray. The Bible says that we should always be in a prayerful mind. So whether you're driving a car, whether you're working at work, whatever, you can always have a prayerful attitude. But our mind should always be set on the Lord. When you set your, let me say it this way. let me finish this last thought. See, I told you my senior years are catching up to me. When we start praying to God, do you know that your prayers go up before God as a sweet incense? It's a sweet aroma. And I'll find the scripture again and I'll share that next Sunday with you, that part. I should have wrote that down, but I failed to. But our prayers go up as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if our prayers go up to God as a sweet aroma, good morning. If our prayers go up before God as a sweet aroma, and we know that God receives those prayers, then we should be excited in our daily life to come to God more often and pray. And when we pray, we should pray and seek God's will. We should pray for other people. We should pray for our nation, our churches. We should pray for one another. We should pray for our enemies. We should pray that our lives will be transformed. We should pray that we will be the greatest witness that we've ever been for the Lord God. So, when we start our day off in God's Word, it warms up our heart. It fills us with life. And it basically shines in the darkness because we live in a dark world. And if you take in God's Word and if God's love is shining out of you, you will be a light before a dark and dying world. Secondly, how else can we love God enough? By going to His house every Sunday. Right now, a lot of churches, a lot of small churches, everybody's on a Sunday morning service. And that's wonderful. I wish all churches could get back to Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night Bible studies, because there's nothing greater than coming to God's house. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." You know, I hear a lot of people say, "Well, why do I need to go to church? Why should I get up and leave my house? I could just worship God right here." Well, that's why God created Christian people. That's why God created people for fellowship. And when you're a Christian, you should be excited to come to God's house. Not for the people, but you should come for God. That's who you should come for. Don't come to church because of the preacher. Don't come to church because of the music. Don't come to church because, you know, you think somebody's cute or good looking or whatever like that. Don't come to church for any reason other than God. You're coming to church for God. When I came to church today, I came here to serve the Lord. I came here to praise and worship the one who gave me life. So every Sunday morning that I get up, I have the enthusiasm of going to God's house. I don't care if it's only three people or four people. I'm going to go and worship God, and I'm going to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? If there's people in the congregation who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, I'm still going to have fellowship with them too. Because I'm going to love them as God the Father loves me. So when we come together and we are bonded together, the fellowship that we share helps strengthen and encourage and lift us up. If you stay home by yourself, you're missing out on the greatest blessing. And let me say this. A lot of people say, well, I don't go to church because I can't stand certain people. Well, you know what? Then the problem doesn't lie within the people you can't stand. The problem lies right here. That's where the problem lies. I used to be that way. I think I told this joke before, but I'll tell it again. One Sunday morning, wife walks into her husband's bedroom, and man, she starts shaking him. She says, honey, it's time for you to get up. It's Sunday morning. We're going to church. He says, I don't want to go to church. And she said, I don't care. You get yourself up and you get ready right now and we're going to church. And that man rolled over and looked at his wife and he says, you give me one good reason why I should get up out of this bed and go to church. And she says, because you're the pastor. Well, that's not. No pastor should ever really be like. That's just a funny joke. No pastor, nobody should ever be like that. There may be people in church that rub you the wrong way. If people are rubbing you the wrong way, then you've got a heart condition. You've got a heart disease that's called selfishness, hatred. I tell you what, I don't take this as negativity. This is coming straight from what I know the Lord wants us to hear this morning. And these things got to be addressed. We have got to get this heart right in order to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, really, I've been in some churches that, boy, people hated each other. And I mean, I'd walk into a church. One church I walked into, the doors had been closed for quite a few years. Well, they decided they want to have church again. They're going to try it one more time. I go in there, and I mean, there's people. I got in there, hadn't been there 5 minutes, and there's already bickering and fighting going on. Well, I tell you what, I wasn't going to play referee. I stopped it. I said, hey, this ain't happening. I said, I'm not your parent, but I said, if you're going to act like a kid, I'll treat you like a parent. But I said, knock this off. We're not having this. If you can't get along, then you need to get, you know, if we can't get along, we need to get to the altar. And we need to seek time with the Lord, and we got to get things right. And Sunday after Sunday, I encountered the same. Finally, I just said, I can't be here anymore. I prayed, and I said, God, they're yours. You have to deal with them. And you know what? It wasn't very long. Those doors closed again. So it's pretty bad when we come into God's house and we don't have fellowship with one another. But you know what? We have to look at it this way. People are people. And everybody has a different attitude. Everybody's got a different set of thoughts and ideas and personalities. But you know what? The Bible says that we are to be of one mind. We are to be of one heart. We're not to be separate in any way. If you are a Christian, and go back to verse 37, make that your homework this week. I'm gonna give a homework assignment this week. Study verse 37 and memorize it and say it to yourself this week. Because you know what? Once you start loving God more, you're going to see your life turn around completely. I still have a lot to work on too. So I'm going to make sure that in 2024, I'm going to continue to pursue God and ask the Lord to continue to help me love more people that I have found hard to love at times because I've looked at them through my eyes, through the eyes of the flesh. Other things, when we come into God's house, we're being preached the gospel. We get to sing songs. We get to sometimes hear testimonies from people. But this is the place where sinners also get saved. Are we loving God enough that we're inviting people to come to church? Will we love God enough this week that we'll invite somebody to come next Sunday to church? And I've heard people say this too. Well, you don't realize what our church has been through in the past. I don't care about the past. If you go living in the past, you're the Bible says, that a man who keeps looking back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. You put your hand to the plow, you look straight ahead. That's what you got to do. But I've had churches say, yeah, you don't know what we've been through in the past, and boy, there's this or that or this, whatever's gone on. It doesn't matter. As adult people, as Christian people, if we're taking on the love of the Lord and if we're seeking God, there's going to be a natural desire to go after sinners. But I've heard churches also say, well, we'll never grow because we don't have this program or those musicians, or we don't have whatever. We don't have the Sunday school. It doesn't matter. You know what God's looking for? God is looking for people who have a natural love for Him that are willing to serve. God is looking for people who are wanting to see things happen in their church, in His church, really. So if you want to see church growth, if you want to see Sunday school, if you want to see a lot of things take place, then we've got to start praying and giving it to the Lord. But we've got to go out and go after the lost. And we've got to witness to them, and we've got to invite them to come here. And we've got to see our baptistries in use again. I used to go into churches and I used to ask them, when's the last time that baptistry was used? I don't want to do that anymore. You know what I'm going to say? Let's start using it. I don't care about the past. Let's start using the baptistry again. Let's start seeing the altars filled up again. I'm going to go into 2024 preaching more salvation-related messages, preaching more messages on growth. Whatever God lays on my heart is what I want to preach. But in order to do that, we've got to come to His house. Now, I've already talked about love, so let me read 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God's Word teaches that it is possible for God's people to have misunderstandings, but we're not to have hatred for one another. There will be misunderstandings, there will be things happen, but we should never hate anybody at any time. We should always love everyone that comes through that door. See, God's people are that's our dearest friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should hold one another up like family. And I don't mean like a broken family. I mean like a family that loves. You've heard this, a family that prays together stays together. A family that loves stays together. It doesn't matter what color you are, what country you're from, how rich, how poor. I don't even like the words rich and poor. If you live for the Lord, you're rich already. You got everything you're ever going to need. I don't care what kind of a house you live in. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. All I know is that I love you for who you are. And I pray every day for every one of you. I pray, and I'm glad there's people who pray for me because I need some guidance sometimes myself. And lastly, do we love God enough? If we do love God enough, then we should separate ourselves from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Basically, here's what the Lord's saying. If you're my disciple, if you're my child, then let the world see it. Don't go to church on Sunday and worship and praise God, and then the moment you get out and leave, you're cursing everybody around you. Or you've got a heart full of hatred, or you're despising things, or you're griping and complaining. Or you go to work and you get in on the gossip or the dirty jokes that are being told. There are so many people in the world today who live their lives in a mediocre way. They think that, well, I'm saved. I could live how I want to live. I'm covered by God's grace. I'm all right. Well, that ain't how it goes. God is a God of all or none. You can't ride the fence and expect to get into heaven. You can't live for the devil and expect to get into heaven. God says He is a jealous God. God says you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit, wow, I could just really feel the Holy Spirit just working this morning. But when the world sees us, when the lost around us look at us, they should see Christ. They should see the love of Jesus by the words you speak, by your actions. You know, I told you about the night that kid in Walmart. Oh, yeah, we got that in stock. And boy, I wish I could. I was late at night and I had to drive all those miles into town and didn't have what I was looking for. And well, I could have shown the world right there, but I chose not to. See, God gave us this to think with. Sometimes I like to say this. A lot of times we need to put our emotions in neutral and don't let them override our mouth. Because you know what? When emotions get involved, the mouth says things that shouldn't come out and it can destroy a relationship or whatever very quick. It can destroy a church. When we're living for Christ, we can look back at the disciples. We can see they were human. They made mistakes a lot. But you know what? They continued to push forward. They continued to strive to be better. They wanted, of course, when it come down to Jesus' arrest and they pointed out Peter as one of the disciples, what did he do? He started. And Jesus told him, "You'll deny me 3 times. How many of us are denying the Lord? If somebody asks you today, "Are you a Christian?" Are you going to say, "Oh, no, I'm not one of them"? No, oh, don't confuse me with that bunch. They're weird. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say we're a peculiar people, but we're not weird. We're heaven bound, and we need to let the world see it. So, do we love God enough? I really hope today that every one of us will meditate on these words, that we'll get into the Scripture and we'll read it and we'll let it permeate our heart, and that we'll learn to love others. I told you, a couple weeks ago about when I went to the oil change place and And that girl was sitting there and she just going through emotional. I didn't even know her. But I just looked at her and I said, "Do you need a hug?" And she jumped out of that chair and she ran over to me and threw her arms around my neck and just cried. We don't know what people are going through. But man, when we show them love, wow, that's the greatest thing. When we share Jesus, that's the greatest gift. So are we loving God enough? Are we really showing Him that we're serious? I hope that everything that we've heard today that we'll take it to heart. And I hope that in 2024, I hope that each day we will strive to do better, that we will continue to grow. Because when we grow and when we live for the Lord, He will bless us abundantly.